This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jesse asked a question earlier. What this team, we know they should have just had one guy in charge, but would this team have been better, in a better situation, if Wes Wilcox was the GM and Monty was the assistant? It seems like those two roles for them fit their personalities better.
Yeah, I don't believe that it has to be like a one GM situation, like a one voice, because, like, look, you know, I think you need to surround yourself with people that challenge you, that have a different perspective than you. And I mean, it's super, super clear if you've ever met Wes and Monty that they have completely different personalities. Like, it's not just that Wes is a total extrovert and Monty's a total introvert. Like, there's even, like, you guys know, you've listened to the King Speed podcast, we make in fun of Brendan all the time because he doesn't watch movies, right? Mm-hmm. Wes doesn't watch movies and Monty's seen everything ever. They're very different. And so for me, it's always been okay to have Wes and Monty, or Monty and Wes. The one downfall that I think has impacted them slightly is that they had no relationship. They had never met each other before they were both hired. Mm-hmm. And so basically that was one guy got the job and the other guy came in second place. And then they said, hey, how about we hire both of you and you guys can work it all out. I think that there was always going to be a need for the second guy, just like there was a need when Vlade was in charge. You know, he had Peja. And then on top of that, they brought in Scott Perry. They brought in Brandon Williams.
Was Monty the final voice? Was he the decision maker?
He's at least a decision maker that brings whatever up to Vivek. Like, Vivek is always going to be the ultimate.
And that's fine. Most owners are. Most owners are. But if it came down to Monty wanting something and Wes wanting something, Monty has the ability to say, no, we're going to do this.
Yeah. And for that matter, more often than not, over the course of the 5 years that he's been here, Monty's won a lot of the battles. Like, whether it was
the battles with who?
With,
because he should have won all of them if he's the general manager.
With Vivek.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, with ownership.
Okay.
You know, he and that's not to say that's not to say that they were like at odds, but there was a time when, like, Mark Jackson was on the table and the decision went to go with Mike Brown instead. And that was a good decision. At least it was good for 2 years. And then the third year, like, sure, things spun out of control. But, like, there have been other decisions in the past that have been, you know, a Monty decision versus a Vivek decision, or a Monty and Wes decision.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting, too, like, having conversations on the way out the door with you know, Wes and with other people around. Like, this actually did work. It's not like this has just been a complete nightmare for 5 years and, you know, both guys have to go. It's just that the last 18 months, I'd say, have been really, really rough.
You said something interesting there. I've never really, like, asked it like this before. Knowing the story being complete, Was the Mike Brown hire a good hire?
Heck yeah. I mean, he won an NBA Coach of the Year. He led you to 18 more wins than he did than you had the previous year.
He got fired 19 games into his third season after signing an extension for, what, 3 more years?
Yeah, but name a head coach in Sacramento that hasn't been fired short of their contract.
Yeah, there hasn't been a successful Sacramento Kings head coach, which is why I'm asking, was the Mike Brown hiring a success? Or what was it? Was it a good hire?
Well, I think it was a good hire.
I mean, it was obviously successful. You went to the playoffs. I'm going to rephrase that. Was Mike Brown a good hire for the Sacramento Kings?
I think so. I think the extension looks bad at this point. But at the same time, like, we talked about this earlier, me and Jesse did on the Insiders. It's like, how many times do you have to look at the roster and say, hey, it's not right? Like, you need to add XYZ.
Yeah.
And like we've been saying that for even when they won 48 games, you were still hoping at that trade deadline when they won 48 games would have yielded a 6'8", 6'9" small forward / power forward that could play defense and hit a three. And you know that first trade deadline, you remember who they got?
Was it the Beam team or was it?
Yeah, the Beam team.
I don't. Alex Kessler Lynn? Edwards?
Kessler Edwards.
Yeah.
That's what they did. That's what they went out and got. Yep. So here, let us help you out. Let us get you a guy who's a developmental prospect. Like that's just never enough. Like if you've got a team that's
building.
But there
was also a conversation we had for months about, and you posed this because that was Harrison's contract year. Do you, if things are going well, we had this discussion frequently. If things are going well, do you risk shaking it up to try to take a step forward, potentially take a step forward? Maybe it doesn't work out and you wind up going a little bit backwards. Or do you just see it through? And the Kings, essentially, with the Kessler-Edwards acquisition, chose to just see it through, hold on to Harrison into the offseason, and obviously they went the route they went with him.
Yeah,
but that was always going to be a dilemma, wasn't it? Especially when you hadn't been good in 20 years.
No, I get that, but the dilemma doesn't have to be trade Harrison Barnes or do nothing. Like there are other ways to acquire players. There were better players available, and like the Kings didn't get them. So whether that's draft capital or it's taking a risk with a young player and including him in a deal or whatever it might be, like you can't. There are always ways to improve your roster. And we've gotten to a point where, you know, you went through, you know, a year and a half of real inactivity. And then when there was activity, it was earth shattering and, you know, left the franchise a bit shaken here with the De'Aaron Fox trade.
I'm just trying to, I want to see what this was. And maybe you guys know off the top of your head, but do you know what OG Anunoby was traded to the Knicks for?
OG Anunoby was traded to the Knicks for, was RJ Barrett in that deal? Yeah,
so it was RJ Barrett, Emmanuel Quickly,
yep,
and a 2024 second round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Kings, if they were making that deal, it was going to be way heavier draft pick.
Probably like, a first rounder.
Yeah, probably two. It probably would have been something like Harrison Barnes and two firsts. Like that's
and you needed to sign him,
but you needed to sign him.
I don't know what is true or whatever, but we weren't talking Harrison Barnes when this was going down. We were saying Masai, and we were telling Masai to kick rocks. He was asking for Keegan, and to that point, they got a Keegan-like play. They got RJ Barrett. They got RJ Barrett and Emmanuel Quickly, throw Anunoby. Harrison, I don't believe Harrison was going to get it done for them.
Yeah, I mean, it was going to be complicated, and even they were trying to get Malik Monk, but I think Monk was in the Siakam deal. I didn't know that. At some point, well,
I figured, but I didn't.
I remember
that.
Toronto was asking, but that wasn't that the Kings were offering.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
And at a certain point, like you have these moments in time where whether it was Siakam or whether it was, you know, OG or name that player that's come up, the Cam Johnson stuff this summer, the Cam Johnson stuff throughout the first half of the season leading all the way up to the trade deadline. Like all of these moments are moments where the Kings tried to address their biggest need but didn't get the job done. They didn't close the deal. And I know specifically with Siakam and with OG, the concern was about the next contract and how much that was going to cost. And I think part of, you know, the when Toronto was here that one time and, you know, there was going to be a meeting between the two sides and then they walked away from that saying, oh, yeah, we're not doing that deal. And part of it was because Siakam said, well, I'm not going to sign. And part of that was likely because the Kings, they told them what the number was that he was looking for, and they told Siakam's people what they were looking to pay. And that wasn't on the same plane either. And so they knew that if they traded for him, they weren't going to be able to get a deal done.
And then just pulling the Siakam trade up too, and that's Bruce Brown, Jordan Awara, which you could have done player-wise with the Kings. But they got three first-round picks.
Yeah, and the trade itself is irrelevant. It's the extension.
Yeah, and we ain't even talking about
the extension. The extension is what mattered the most. And
so I guess I only bring those up to say you didn't get it done. And the results are the results, and they're probably going to cost Monty and those guys their job. But number one, I don't think they had the assets that ended up being part of these two deals separately. Or if you did, nobody wanted. Like, I think Keegan had – I believe Keegan would have had to be involved in those, either one of those deals. And I just remember people were not in favor of that. And I wasn't in favor of that. I wasn't willing to trade Keegan for either one of those guys.
I can tell you straight up, like, the Daniel Gafford trade and the PJ Washington trade are the two that happened last trade deadline. Mm-hmm. Not this one, but the one before. The Kings did not have the assets to make either one of those deals.
Well, one of the reasons is because they gave Dallas the assets to make one of with the
they did give up their first round the pick draft day. And to clear up $12 million bucks in salary cap space. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they've created their own issues. I ain't trying to absolve them. Mm-hmm. They've the Davion Mitchell, Sasha trade, giving up those second rounders and those trade assets. They've created their own issues for sure.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Casey says it's useless tonight. They're just absolutely hopeless. Do you agree? There's just no chance we're going to see the beam at Southern Health Park.
Man, if it's flipping a coin, which team's going to show up, man? I have no idea, because the team could show up tonight and beat the Pacers and then lose to the Wizards and Hornets in back-to-back games, and we would just sit here not even perplexed, just like, yep, that makes sense. That's exactly what we thought was going to happen.
Yeah, I was definitely deflated by what we saw on Saturday, because that was one of the things that I believed with this team, and that I would hang my hat on often with these guys, is they may not win, but they always come to play under Doug Christie. They always come to play. They always come to compete. And now we've seen it three or four, maybe even five times in the last 2 weeks where that's not even the case anymore. And that is – extremely disappointing, and you know it's made me feel a little differently about this team and what they could do, because when I knew they were always going to compete, you could hang your hat on that. But now they've had too many no shows in recent memory where I'm asking the question: did they mail it in? Are they not as concerned about seeing this thing through to the playoffs at this point? I think they are, but it's got to show up on the field and how you come to play the game.
Yeah, they definitely, anytime the going gets tough, they regress to who they are as individuals, like every single time. And that's what we're seeing at this point. Some nights when things are going good, they come out and they play extremely well, like as a team. But as soon as they face adversity in a game, you see each of the individuals show up. It just, the ball gets sticky. They just keep dribbling the air out of the ball. And it's not just one guy. It's most of the team fully regresses to who they were, like their rudimentary, this is who I am as a basketball player. And that's always disappointing, because you're trying to get them to snap out of it. And they don't even, a lot of the players don't even realize they're doing it. You know, we can look at the game the other night, like six turnovers for Malik Monk, five turnovers for Zach LaVine. They didn't even make sense. The turnovers didn't make sense. You're like, what are you doing? And that's when the game just spiraled out of control and a team threw up a defense against you that you didn't know what to do. And your just like default mode was to turn the ball over and dribble the air out of the ball. And is very, very disappointing, especially after how well they played on Thursday against, you know, not a very good Blazers team, but still a team that was fighting and had something to fight for. I mean, and the Blazers came to win that game. Like they did not just like check a box and not show up. The Kings were just way better and they had no chance.
James is off to Sutter Health Park. We're going to let you go watch some A's baseball.
Yeah, man.
We'll come back and we'll talk more Kings basketball. They take the floor in Indiana at the top of the hour. We'll be your de facto pregame show. Get you ready for Kings and Pacers here. We're dealing with KC on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Oh, Jesse isn't in there. Oh, wow. Okay. James, you can go ahead and go.
Oh.
I thought I just saw
can't Jesse. Go to break.
Yeah, we literally cannot go to break. So, James, you get out of here. And James will go watch baseball.
And we'll keep
talking. And we'll just keep talking. This show is amazing.
Oh, God.
This show is absolutely incredible.
Man, that's hilarious.
Find you another show that will throw to break that can't go to break. Like, I can't even override it and send it to break. Like, I can't do that. So,
oh, man.
We'll just talk more about the Kings and the Pacers.
One thing that, this is a little lighthearted thing. Did you see the Kings?
West guy, second, Jesse out getting his bread. No, not his money. His literal bread. He's out there getting his bread. Steven says, what a Monday. Katrina, look at all the bread jokes.
Come on, man.
This show is amazing.
It was pretty good. It was pretty good.
One word to describe this show, professionalism.
I'm going to go get some more after the show for sure.
Just comes waltzing back in here.
I didn't use the restroom. I thought we were winning 28.
No, we weren't. Oh, James has got to leave.
That's my fault.
We said you was out there getting bread.
No, usually we go to 28, so I took my bathroom break.
Well, we're going to 28 now.
I hope everything's okay. What's going on here? Is he...
Oh, he is sweating profusely.
What?
Oh, man, that was Mike Tomlin. The thought of coaching Aaron Rodgers.
What was that?
Has Mike. What? Oh, Mike. Where is he? Oh, man. Where is Mike Tomlin right now?
He's probably sick.
Mike Tomlin looks like he's doing this interview from the depths of hell.
It was so disturbing. I had to like be careful and make sure, hey, nothing went on. Because it was weird because they had like all these microphones, like old school. Like,
yeah.
I was like, what's going on? And I guess just the thought of having Aaron Rodgers is got my boy stressed out.
He looked like Patrick Ewing at the foul line in the fourth quarter. And he was just sitting there. That was a startling sight.
I said, what's going on here? Hope everything's all right. But no, I thought this was...
I can't believe these teams are waiting around for this idiot.
I thought this was kind of funny.
Kenny Thomas talking.
Nah, Kenny Thomas would be jealous of this.
Yeah. But. Kenny Thomas looked at Mike Tomlin like, bro, what's wrong with you? Why you look like that, dog?
The Kings, they you know, social media, they always do their thing. And they did the questions. You know how they ask them a question when they're walking into an mm-hmm. arena or something. Mm-hmm. So they did this one on the road. And the question was like, who would you want to play one-on-one, like, who all time would you ever want to play one-on-one? People were asking the question. That wasn't the funny part to me. The funny part was Keegan refused to answer. Trey Lyles tried to get him to answer, and Keegan just kept walking and walked away and would not answer. And then Valanciunas, they asked him, and he goes, oh, these questions. Next time, guys, next time. And walks off.
Bruh, what is wrong with these people?
It was so irritating. It's like, these questions again. next time, guys, next time. It just walks away from him.
Sorry to annoy you with my friendship. Goodness gracious. Just keep walking, Valanciunas.
Keegan just wouldn't answer. Dre Lyles tried to get him to answer. He just wouldn't answer.
Not interested.
No.
Keep it moving, pal. Was that the one where DeMar said himself?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they were walking out into the street in Indiana.
Oh, man. Frank Wright, interim head coach at Stanford, huh? I didn't see that.
Yeah, interim head coach.
I'm sorry. Why is he the interim
head coach? That's what I'm saying. Like, interim, why isn't he just
Is it week one? What is happening? What month are we in? What? Conduct a coaching search. You're the smartest school in the West. Like, what are you doing?
I don't know why they just wouldn't give him a three-year
deal. Yeah, why wouldn't you give Frank Wright the deal?
I don't even know if he's the guy, but yeah, just yeah.
Houston and Duke, I'm ready for that.
It's gonna be a good. I'm ready. Houston, gonna be ready. Houston is going to be ready to go, and I think Duke got a great argument that they're the best team in the country.
Yeah,
but they're gonna have their hands full with Houston. I thought they would have their hands full with Alabama though, and they handled business.
They did not.
They handled business.
They were kicking it.
There was something James said that I wanted to ask you about,
mm-hmm.
or just ask people in general about, where the thought process is that, you know, who's pulling the strings around here, who's mm-hmm. who's running things, and James, and I agree with him, he's said Monty's won a lot of these, I don't want to say battles, because he wasn't making like it was contentious, but Vivek may have thought one way or chimed in a certain way, and he let Monty do his job
mm-hmm.
and went his way.
Mm-hmm.
How do people feel about that? Does that fly in the face of what people have kind of said? Like, oh, he's not making decisions. Vivek needs to step out of the way. He's not making – does that change?
I don't think that's ever going to go away.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. The truth will never matter because it'll always be fogged.
Hmm.
People will always believe. It's like the Keegan Murray, like it was Vivek wanted Keegan Murray.
Yeah.
Everyone else wanted Jaden Ivey. Hmm. And then they took Keegan Murray and he had the rookie year he had and no one mentioned it again. Literally no one. Wasn't written about in the New York Times, wasn't discussed a single time again. Mark Jackson. Vivek sure is infatuated with Mark Jackson. Who knows? I have no idea if that's true or not. If I'm a owner of a business and you've got three candidates to manage my store in front of me and the general manager is making the hire, I'm looking at him saying, making the right one, mm-hmm. make the right one. Mm-hmm. The guy says it's Mike Brown. Okay. Are you sure? You talked to Mark? I think Steve Clifford was the other one. You talked to Steve? Okay. Then go with it. Mm-hmm. But it always hung out over there. Well, he wants Mark Jackson. They hire Mike Brown. Never mentioned again. Mm-hmm. Never, ever brought up. If he's an owner, he's pretty bad at asserting his authority.
Yeah.
And when he does assert his authority, he seems to be right, and then they don't say anything.
They don't say nothing.
This isn't like trying to rep for Vivek. It's trying to point out, stop believing everything you hear and read about them. Mm-hmm. The New York Times article that came out about Anjali and Jeremy Lamb, they were broken up by the time the article came out. All of this, they're in the decision-making circle. He's not around. What are you talking about? That's not a thing. It's absolutely not a thing. But it's Sacramento. It's Vivek. You've been on this train for years. It's easy to believe.
Right.
And that's all it is. Like, you'll never, I don't believe anyone, even us, a bit in the know, I don't think we'll ever know exactly what's going on.
I agree.
We're not stupid enough to think that the people who are talking to us, they don't have their own agendas. Mm-hmm. That's how this game works. It's our jobs to cipher through all of this.
Right.
When it comes to the owner and decision making, I can't cipher through it. Right. I have no clue. I have absolutely no clue what goes on in this organization. If Monty has the decision making power, salute. If it's Vivek, okay. And I mean, I told you a story that I think I shared it on the air that I heard the opposite.
Who makes the decisions?
Yeah, that at least one team in the league is like, yeah, Vivek doesn't really, he's kind of hands off. Of course, that flies in the face of what we're told here, but a perception from outside of Sacramento was like, we asked this earlier, this might be an appealing job for a general manager if that's true. Mm-hmm. Again, do we know it's true? No, because all we're fed is that Vivek is the dumbest human being that's ever lived, and every decision he has ever made is wrong. And now he's in bed with Fisher. So that's where we are.
Yeah.
All right, man.
Yeah, And I agree with James on that too. And some of that was what we've heard. Some of it is just paying attention to like what's going on.
Yeah.
Like it seems like Monty, quote unquote, gets his way more often than not in these situations. And I think some people will point right now to like the Zach LaVine thing and say, I think Stephen Brown said he got his way until now, and Vivek wanted Zach LaVine. Number one, from everything that we've heard, they've always had I'll just say Vivek. He's always had an eye on Zach LaVine for years now. And so he's probably mentioned him, tried to get him. He ain't got him. Mm-hmm. Like at some point, somebody's saying, no, we're not trading for him. Or I know when he tried to sign him as a free agent, they matched the offer sheet and all this other stuff. So, like, yeah, could have liked him, wanted him on the team for – he could say that once every 6 months. Mm. Somebody's telling him, no, we're not going to go that route. Until it got to the point where, all right, we're trading the franchise or what we think is the franchise. All right, man, what's up with LaVine now? Mm-hmm. Like, you didn't play all your cards. Here's where we're at now. What's up with LaVine now? And even then, I could be wrong. Even then, it's not like – hey, get Zach LaVine and then get the worst draft picks possible. Like he's talking about get Zach LaVine. Like do your job everywhere else though.
Yeah.
Get one of the rookies or a role player or better draft picks or something.
Make
like
my
that.
Basketball team better.
Yeah.
Or this is what we thought, and I'm not sure that it's not true, at least make it the same. Mm. And I'm not convinced that this basketball team wouldn't be exactly the same. Part of the factor is the circumstances De'Aaron was dealing with.
Right.
I don't know if he would have shut down his season in Sacramento fighting for a play-in spot, especially with the mood he would have been in if he was still on this basketball team. I assume he would have. Mm-hmm. But I don't think this team is any better if that trade isn't done. Yeah. I don't think they're any worse either. For some reason, this is who this basketball team is. Mm. I mean, how many times did we see De'Aaron Fox score 12 points, 15 points? The stuff that Zach LaVine is getting murdered for right now. Mm-hmm. How many times over the years have we seen De'Aaron do that? Yeah. This isn't to attack De'Aaron Fox. This is just to say this season feels like it was dead from jump. And that sucks. Mm-hmm. Given the summer that we had, the expectations that we had, and the level in which we were just all wrong, that sucks.
Yeah.
Is Jesse in there? All right, we'll be right back. KC here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 13. Kings basketball at the top of the hour on your television. As we get through these final eight games of the season.
You know, I thought about something. I don't know if I should even bring it up, though. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to make sure I can get where I need to get. James, me and James earlier were talking about where we park it for this A's game today.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. When you find that, you let me know.
Well, I mean, put it to you like this. I'm worried about taking a little walk or hopping on a scooter.
Scooter.
Yeah. I ain't parking in West Sac. It's just the bottom line.
Imagine Aaron Judge hits a home run and takes out someone on a scooter.
Imagine it's Kenny.
Who might it be? And Shohei doesn't come here. Oh, it might be Jazz Chisholm.
Yeah, because he's in the wiffle ball bats.
Well, you sound like, it sounds like hate. Definitely sounds like hate.
It's not. They call it a torpedo bat now, I guess.
That's what they call it. That's what it said.
That's, they just use it. But he's saying it like the way he's using that tone, as if the Yankees are doing something.
No, not all the Yankees. Just Jazz Chisholm and Anthony Volpe. Aaron Judge's bat stops working in October.
All right.
Come on.
What?
Come on. Why?
Stop.
Why?
It's an unnecessary shot to
When does Rafael Devers' bat start working?
I don't know. His works in October, though. He's got a World Series ring. That wasn't very nice. He's going through it right now. He's got the yips.
They
got 14 home runs so far?
Yeah.
The Yankees.
They had 9 in the game on Saturday. Man. That was crazy. poor Lauren Betts. This reminded me. Did you see DK's video?
I didn't.
Yeah, she's just going in on Lauren Betts.
What did Lauren Betts do to her?
She says she's just whiny.
Oh.
To be 6, what is she, 6'7" or something like that? Maybe 6'5". She's just too whiny. But yeah, man, everybody can use those bats. Everybody can use them.
They're there for everybody. I used to use them when I used to play in the front yard.
They're there for everybody. I think
actually, I don't hate it, I guess.
The bat matters. I think that porch in right field matters a little bit more, though.
Yeah, and it's not just the Yankees using it either. And it's not like a league-wide thing, so it's whatever, I guess, at this point.
Somebody, they said last night, I was watching Sunday Night Baseball, and somebody was like, they were talking to some pitchers, and they were like, yeah, the MLB is going to have to look into that. And the guy was like, what are you talking about?
With the bats?
Yeah. What are you talking about? It's been researched. It's legal. That's like, they use the example, that's like telling a pitcher they can't use a slider. Like, what are you talking about? Like,
pitchers are mad because they can't use pine tar anymore and all that stuff.
Oh, and then I felt a little bad. I don't know the whole situation. You see the Dodgers rookie who, like, having a mental breakdown, it looked like?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he was crying.
Is he from, Japan?
Japan, yeah, I'm pretty sure.
And I guess it was his first start, and he was
crying. There was tears on his cheek.
Yeah, he was going through it. The moment was just too much. And then they said going into the recruiting process or whatever, like one of the concerns I guess they had over there was, hey, I don't think he's going to do well in a big market. Like, that's not, I don't think that'd be good for him.
Mm-hmm.
And Dodgers went and got him anyway. And hope the guy gets it together. That was tough. He looked like he just wanted to go back home.
On the opposing team, though, I'm taking that dead center.
Oh, let him pitch against the Giants. My boy Elio Ramos.
Come on, man. Leave a kid alone. You just said you felt bad for him. Now you're talking about.
I do. We got to win games, though. We got to win games. What do you want me to do?
Quick programming note. You going to go see Coach tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, we'll be at Mike Bibby's. Well, KC will be at Mike Bibby's introductory press conference tomorrow with Leezy. And then he'll join the show, man. So we'll have some coverage. As Mike Bibby is officially introduced as the Sac State head basketball coach. Landed his first big recruit today. Shaquille O'Neal is a Hornet.
Shakir.
Getting the transfer portal.
Sure, everybody heard him say Shakir.
It's Shakir O'Neal.
I'm just making sure they.
Cause Shaq. Shaq O'Neal.
Say
what,
Shaq.
What you mean? Shaq O'Neal.
Shaq O'Neal is going to
Sac State.
Shaq is a Hornet.
Shaq is a Hornet. Yes, indeed.
Headlines. We're going to get, what's the guy's name? Evan Sittery? Who's the guy that makes
it?
Yeah. Oh. Listen to ESPN 1320. They said Shaq is going to Sac State.
That's one more year of eligibility.
That's what the Spurs reporter's typing right now onto his Twitter account.
Still waiting to get through to the manager.
Still trying to. Like, dude, you're an investigator. You're a reporter, and you can't figure out who to call here?
Come on, man. Come on. Get your man.
I ain't even going to help you out, man. Get out of my face. Your DMs go to a special box, dog, because I don't follow you. It goes to the junk box.
Get your mans. I do have Beam Money.
Okay, we do that.
Beam Money is going to be ready, and it's got to be ready like while the show's going on because, you know, it's a 4 o'clock start. So this is what I decided to do. I went mostly Kings except for one. And I'll tell you the Kings ones I had. I got DeMar DeRozan, 30 and a half points, rebounds, and assists. This is a game for the offense. So I think he can accumulate a lot of those numbers. But that's the one I'm least confident in. They have Keon Ellis at 8.5 points. I went more. And what's the other one? I got Domantas Sabonis at 17.5 points. I went more, right?
Okay.
Now, got to get you a Pacers one. Then maybe you guys can help me out with this one. Pascal Siakam. I'm going points, rebounds, assist again, two times. I'm trying to stay away from demons or goblins. That's really the big thing.
Yeah, they take some money away when you do
that. Yeah. Pascal Siakam, 32.5 points, rebounds, and assists. Or Tyrese Haliburton, 33.5 points, rebounds, and assists. I'm leaning towards Siakam.
Ooh. 33 points and assists for Ty?
Rebounds and assists.
Oh, rebounds
points,
and assists.
Points, rebounds, and assists.
Oh. I'm sorry.
I'm still leaning towards
Siakam. You could do that. What's Siakam's again?
32.5.
I think you're good with both.
Mm.
I think or either. Sorry, mm-hmm. I think you're good with either. Mm-hmm. I think you're good with either.
All right. I'm going to go Siakam.
Okay.
So, yeah, the lineup.
Remember when you could take the Tyrese under and just make money day in and day out? Man.
Those were the good old days.
Man.
Those days are gone.
Yeah, those are over.
Those days are gone. Download the Prize Pick app. Put in KIFM into that promo code, and it gets you $50 instantly with your first $5 lineup. Don't have to win. Nothing like that. Just put in the promo code KIFM, and you get $50 instantly with your first $5 lineup. You must be present in certain states. Go to prizepicks.com for more details. Prize Picks, run your game.
So he decided to show up.
No.
Does he even know?
No, yeah. He does. Apologize. The man was working.
Oh, so they don't got to do with anything. Yeah, I'm trying to work too. And I need the signage up. Worried about his job?
Yeah.
Poor Zabo hits me up. I just went back and heard what y'all said. I'm alive. Work meetings suck. Tell Kenny it's still run your game.
Jobs are temporary. D'Lo and KC is for life.
Man.
Poor Zabo was so upset. He made a best of D'Lo and KC for the month of March.
He did.
That's facts. He went to work up.
We appreciate you, Zay.
That's facts. Shout out, Zay.
Happy anniversary, by the way, to Zabo and Jasmine.
Yeah.
They've been together 9 years, man. They celebrated their anniversary over the weekend.
Love to see it.
Good stuff.
Love to see it.
Good stuff from one of our favorite couples.
Yeah.
Zabo, am I getting residual checks? Brother, we don't even get the checks on YouTube.
Yeah, what you talking about?
We don't even know who gets those checks.
Yeah, what you
we know
about?
Who doesn't.
Yo, settle down, sir. What kind of establishment do you think this is?
Some Joe Schmo in Philadelphia just eating off of us.
Hey, that stupid show in Sacramento keeps getting more popular.
They keep posting Kings videos.
Yeah. Let's go to Morton's tonight and eat a bad steak.
Oh, why is Morton's catching a stray?
I don't know. It wasn't really necessary. I understand that. That's my fault.
Oh.
I don't even know what could possibly be on the best of D'Lo and KC. Just no clue.
For a whole month, yeah. We'll find out. You guys go every... Saturday for sure. Go in there and see this week on D'Lo and KC. Just new something.
Oh, okay. Well, here's our talk about the air fryer. Oh, Kenny in the green vest. Okay. Yeah. Small market, big heart controversy. That was the stupid picture. He's got these labeled. That's labeled D'Lo and his expensive restaurants.
Well,
I don't even know what that means. Now.
What's that one about?
Spelling is hard. That's what that's labeled as. WWE Raw Live. I think we're watching. Oh, Kenny in the movie. KC was in a movie is on here. Oh, this is great. Pyramid Conspiracies made the cut.
That's a good one.
Pyramid Conspiracies was good. Oh, great. Now we got JFK Conspiracies, so that rolled one right into the other. Kenny plays the wrong video.
Which video did I play?
Well, you were on the soundstage. And you showed us your phone on the sound.
Right.
Yep, got us. Got our biggest sponsorship check canceled. What do we got here? Poor D'Lo and his solar. Poor D'Lo and his solar panels. This is awesome.
Wait, hold on.
So many KC impressions.
Hold on, man. Oh, man. Come on.
You been in the Cartier store?
No. Hey, look, man. Hold on. I got to show you guys this, man. I'm tagging you right now. Now, look. Done a lot of defending of the Sacramento A's. But have you seen the press conference?
You tagged us where?
Set up.
Hey, what's wrong with the little shack?
Come on, man.
You tagged us where?
Come on. What are we doing?
Hey, hold if you're claustrophobic,
on.
If you're
on
claustrophobic,
Twitter,
oh, if you're claustrophobic, maybe covering the Sacramento A's is not for you.
Oh, that's.
Oh, no. Hey, think about it. During the summer, it's 105. Yeah, everyone get the shed.
Oh, come on, man.
Tough.
No, we can't have that, man.
Hey, that costs you $50 at Home Depot.
We can't.
That's tough. How come I don't recognize anybody here? Where's Jake? Where's Sean?
James, go sit by the tools over there.
Oh, this is tough.
Wait, we got a press conference. Can we back out the lawnmower, please?
Hey, no, come on, man. That's embarrassing. You can't do that. There's got to be another room somewhere at Sutter Health Park.
That's like an RV. Just everybody pile in the RV and ask some questions. That's tough, man. That is tough.
And then it's from Ben Ross. Shout out Ben, former.
That's
former,
our guy. Yeah.
CBS 13, and he said he has another video. And I'm not gonna play because you know I don't understand. Oh, but I see it. It says it's pretty windy today in Sacramento, and the wind looks like it's blowing that.
Oh, no.
Mark, what do you think about Lawrence Butler and the shed just falls apart?
It's a reply to the one I sent you.
Yeah,
look
I see
at
it.
The roof.
Oh, no.
This is the roof that fell apart, the Tropicana fill.
This is a bad first start. The good news is it's nice out and all the pictures of the field look beautiful. Is the rain behind us for the day?
I believe it is.
It is not. Well, at least in Roseville. I don't know if it's...
No, Roseville has been raining crazy lately.
There's a 30%, 40%, 30%, 40% chance of rain over the course of the next 4 hours.
Y'all got to calm down in Roseville. What's going on in Sacramento?
I don't know. I know next Wednesday it says 79 degrees, so give me that.
Yeah, buddy. Sacramento, 40% at 7 p.m., but that's it.
I can't lie. The shed is crazy.
The shed is wild.
That, come on, man. You know I'll be defending them, but that's tough.
Dude, the Kings...
That's tough.
There's got to be a porta potty right by there, too, I'm sure.
That's tough. That's a tough one to defend.
Do the Kings look worse than the interview shed?
Yes.
Well, there you have it. I guess tune in tomorrow. Man. That's a bad look.
Damn, man.
That's a bad look.
All the Bay Area people coming out. Oh, we're going to cover the A's today. And then they go in there. Maybe that's just for them.
They got the old bear paw.
Maybe Jake and them are in a plush,
nice one. Super nice leather couches everywhere.
Whoever's in this Ben Ross picture is doing a little press conference from the beer pong table they grabbed it from the other place.
That's so unnerving. so unnerving.
Oh, brother. Oh, well.
All right, man.
What are your, I think I might have already asked, but what are your thoughts on the Kings today? Do you look at them and say
nothing surprises me? Nothing would surprise me. If they beat the Pacers, it wouldn't surprise me. If they lost by one, it wouldn't surprise me. If they lost by, I think I would be surprised if they got beat up again. Like if they lost by 20 plus again, if this game wasn't competitive, you know, midway through the fourth, I think I would be surprised in that result.
Would that change how you feel about this team?
No, it doesn't matter. Like, how I feel about them. Like, the way I feel about them isn't going to change. I think they're...
They could win by 30, lose by 30. It's not going to make a difference. At this point, like, we're all heading the same direction.
Yeah, we'll talk about it tomorrow. It'll be a little more fun tomorrow if they win. And then we'll reset the clock and talk about whatever's next.
It can only get worse from here. Like the best-case scenario is you're 9 or 10, no matter what. And then the worst is, like, you just don't make the play-in. But, like, there's no amount of games they can win that's going to get them to eighth or whatever.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's
we're headed the same direction.
Yeah, it's solidify a play-in spot. And then once we get to the play-in, once we get to the postseason, assuming they make it, it'll be the same thing. Yeah. It'll be like, all right, it's the Kings versus Dallas. I don't know, dog. Anthony Davis could go for 40. I don't know what to tell you. Domas could dominate him and go for 30 and 20. Don't know what to tell you. Don't know how to predict. Right. You could beat Dallas, get blown out by the Timberwolves, Clippers, Warriors, whatever. This is just what we're doing the next eight games. Mm. I do not know what to tell you what to expect from this team tonight, because I know what I didn't expect on Saturday, and it was that. I didn't expect that on Saturday. Could you lose to the Magic? Absolutely. But that, I didn't expect that. Yeah. So it's like, all right, whatever happened. Saturday ended. Start over. What happens next?
And because of that, because of Saturday, because I agree with you, it does have me looking at them a little different.
I see.
It does, because I didn't think that was going to happen to them. They might lose. Like you said, yeah, you could lose to the Magic. But a complete no-show, I'm ready to take my $2 chain or $2 steak chain off.
It's a chain.
Yeah, $2 steak chain off.
Yeah. Did it have a steak on it that you get from Reno?
Steak and egg. Yeah.
Oh, it had an egg on it, too.
Give me that.
Okay.
It's a nice chain.
I'm ready to take it back.
Give it to Jerry. He'll wear it. Jerry Rice will wear it.
Jerry with his...
Jerry loves wearing them chains.
He does, man, and he has the goat fuel. That's his energy drink, I think.
All right. Too many people got energy drinks. Goat fuel?
Goat fuel, yeah.
Have you had it?
No.
Oh, I'm not trying it either. I will not try goat fuel, and I won't try Prime.
Jerry.
Prime sucks.
Prime. Well, Prime's trying to kill you, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
not energy. I don't know. It's like,
well,
it's
I guess
like,
it is energy drink.
It's like sweet water.
That, Prime is?
Yeah, it's like super sweet. It's not good.
It's awful. Yeah. Reese had it one time. I almost banned it from that.
Have we had the Dutch Brothers discussion on this show?
I think so.
Or Dutch Bros.
Dutch Bros, what about it?
That it's like that their most popular thing are like these weirdly sweet energy drinks.
I didn't know that.
I'm not even a Dutch Bros.
I just thought it was a coffee place, but apparently one of their big things are like these sweet, syrupy energy drinks with like crazy levels of caffeine in it.
You pull up the Dutch Bros and they'll literally like jump in your car like, oh, how you doing? What's up? What are you doing
That's
today?
What I've heard. Yeah,
yeah,
I've heard
no,
it
one time they did that. I kind of looked at Crystal like, you need to talk to them.
Yeah, I've heard it is crazy there.
No, not for me.
Goat fuel.
Always packed though. Always.
Always. It settled down a little bit though.
Not by me. The one by my house is new. Like it went up after I moved. So that was May.
They used to have one, or they still have one off of El Grove Boulevard by 99, and that used to be crazy all the time. Now, it still gets crazy.
Yeah.
But there's times when it's not crazy. So,
we'll okay. See.
Goat Fuel has electrolytes, BCAA,
branched chain amino acids,
vitamins and minerals.
Okay.
Natural caffeine of 200 milligrams.
All of the buzzwords.
Yeah, what vitamins and minerals?
200 milligrams?
Natural caffeine.
What does that mean to you?
Power up naturally.
No.
Each can of goat fuel gives you a smooth, sustained energy boost with caffeine from natural sources like green tea and coffee beans.
You get paid for this?
Okay, green tea. Yeah, are you an endorser of goat fuel?
No, I'm trying to figure out what's in it.
Kenny going to be in here tomorrow. I get through my two radio shows with goat fuel.
And my insoles.
Shout out Moving Souls, man. Shout out to him.
Endorsement deals under the table.
Yeah,
he don't tell us nothing about.
I wish I did
he's
have one
to make
Moving
this
Souls.
He's trying to make this goat fuel read
sound
natural.
Hey, guys, no big deal, but I really love this company so-and-so because this and that.
Antioxidants.
He ran into Jerry Rice on the sideline of the 49ers game when he dissed Patrick Willis.
Yeah.
And what is this? Cordyceps mushrooms? Traditional healers that have used these ultra rare mushrooms to treat ailments and improve vibe.
Okay, Kenny don't know that word.
Vitality?
Vitality. That's it.
No, I couldn't read it for a second. For thousands of years.
Oh, for thousands of years. Okay, Jerry.
You won't taste them, but you'll feel them.
Okay. All right, dude.
You sell this at the dispensary, Jerry?
Goat Fuel, the Jerry Rice edition. It's a gold can with Jerry on it. So, okay, this is fascinating. It's $35.99 for 12. That is
that
crazy.
Sounds like a good deal, huh?
Oh, they got. Oh, they, well, it's not just Jerry.
They got.
They got Muhammad Ali goat fuel.
Yeah.
How does that work?
I don't know, Jesse.
Watermelon.
I don't know.
Watermelon and fruit punch is the Muhammad Ali tropical berry. Is Jerry Rice?
This is insane. All right, man. Blueberry lemonade, peach pineapple.
What would be our flavor? Goat fuel. If it was a D'Lo and Casey version.
Bitterness.
Strawberry.
Oh.
Strawberry and ginger.
Bitterness and anger. Oh, God. That sounds terrible. All right. Well, I'll we're going to order some goat fuel and some smelling.
No, send us some.
We're going to order some goat fuel and some smelling salt.
That's what the Kings needed on Saturday.
Yeah, they need some goat really fuel tonight.
Yeah, Doug needs to hand that stuff around, man. We got Kings basketball. Coming up on your television, we're going to go watch it with you while we do our show over on KSFM. Kyle says sour would be the D'Lo and Casey flavor. We'll see y'all tomorrow beginning at 10 a.m. With the insiders on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos Kings, light the beam. Vamos A's.